Hello and welcome to
Family Movie Night.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Gwen.
And I'm the cute, adorable Asher.
And we're going to talk about a movie that we just watched with our kids.
But before we spoil it for you, we quickly let you know how much we like the movie and if we recommend it.
Yep, and then we let our kids chime in before they go to bed.
Gwen, can you tell us what movie it is?
It's Kubo and the Two Strings.
We watched Kubo and the Two Strings. And Asher, what did you think about it?
I thought it was great because Kubo was really neat, but sometimes he was strange.
How was he strange?
He was strange because sometimes he said phrases like, if you blink, if you must blink, do it now. And it makes a sort of strange sentence.
All right, so Gwen, what did you think?
I think it was good because they went on an adventure and they had to find armor.
Yeah, what was your favorite part?
Oh, I like the skeleton part.
Skeleton part, that's pretty fun.
What do you think the movie was trying to say?
You don't know? How about you, Asher? What do you think the movie was trying to say?
Memories are important, and as long as you keep them with you, then you will be happy, and you will always have the thing that you remember inside your heart.
All right. That's pretty good. All right. Do you guys want to sing a little song about it?
No.
Okay. You want to just go to bed?
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
We send the kids to bed because it's 9 o'clock and because all kids have terrible taste. And we don't want to crush their innocent spirits with our criticism. So now we're going to tell you, before we, we don't want to spoil anything, but we want to talk about if we liked it and if we recommend it.
What do you think? I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this movie. I think I do like certain parts of it, but it was interesting that our kids couldn't really put their finger on what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say sure, you know, unless your kids are super scared of the dark or something like that.
There's some creepy stuff.
There's some creepy stuff in there. It doesn't last very long, but, you know, there's definitely violence and stuff like that. But but I'd say, you know, if your kids are a little bit older, if that's not a concern for them, then I'd say, sure, you know, go ahead and watch it as a family.
We liked it. We didn't love it. But what we liked about it was novel. It was a different kind of experience. It had a lot of interesting
look. It had an interesting look. I mean, like, I don't even know if you can call it cinematography, but
it is. And yeah, it was. So they combined 3D printing with clay animation.
And it's different. And I like it. I like that they're exploring new ways to make a movie. And I'm like, you know, yeah, let's vote for that, you know? So I don't know. That part of it was really interesting. But I guess what? We'll probably start talking about the movie now. So
yeah.
Spoiler.
So we're going to do spoiler horn. Or I was thinking about it. I thought maybe we should do a spoiler klaxon.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
All right. We are past the threshold. I think what we'll do is kind of walk through the plot and point things out as we go.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I mean, are we critiquing a kids movie? Yes, we are. We critique everything. So, and it's not like we are critical of everything, like we hate everything. It's just that we like to figure out how things work and story-wise and if they work and everything. So anyway, that's what's happening now. So so one of the things that was a problem for me with this movie at the beginning was the whole opening monologue of like, if you have to blink, do it now, you know. It goes through this big old long
thing.
If you
fidget or look away, then our hero will surely perish.
Yeah. And I mean, it is
it's gripping. Very good at getting your attention.
Yes. But it doesn't have much to do, I don't think.
It never pays off.
It never pays off, which bugs me. Mm-hmm. I think that that is bothersome. And I had a really hard time, too, figuring out what the heck was going on for the first part of the movie. And so I was trying to make that opening...
You were applying it.
I was trying to apply it, and it wasn't... It was hard to apply because it doesn't apply. So it's a cool thing, but it ends up being a little bit like a cheap shot.
It's a disappointment.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I was kind of bugged by that. And then of course they bring it back in at the end, which, you know, every time that there's like a cyclical thing in a movie, it's supposed to give you the warm fuzzies and make you feel like they did something good. And so it's like, oh yes, they had that at the end too. Ooh, that means they must... Mm-hmm. have known what they were doing, but really it's just that they repeated the same stuff at the end and it still didn't pay off, in my opinion. So Anyway, that was one of the things that bugged me. And it made it hard for me to understand what was going on at first.
We start off, mother's like on a surfboard or canoe or something, and she lands, washes up on the shore with a baby. There's a bandages over his eyes, and he's Kubo. We see him years later, wakes up in the morning, makes breakfast for his mom, and she's kind of there, and he has to feed her, and she's comatose.
And I have to say, at this point, when I saw it for the first time, because this was our second time seeing this, actually, which is good, because, man, the first time I didn't really understand anything, and this time I felt like... maybe.
Well, you knew what was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. So, so it was a little easier for me to get what they were trying to give me, but, I at first said, oh, maybe this is a movie about someone who has depression. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such a cool and sweet thing for this kid to be taking care of his mom and loving her and everything. But mm-hmm. that's not what it was about.
Right. Yeah, I got excited. Anyway, it wasn't about that at all. He goes down to the village with his instrument. I don't speak Japanese, but it's called a samisen. And it's like a 3-string guitar. He goes down to the village and starts telling
playing
a story.
His instrument.
Yeah, playing his instrument. Oh, but he starts off with that thing, if you need to blink, do so now. And that's how he starts his story. And
so you're like, oh, maybe I'll understand what this has to do. And mm-hmm. nope. Yeah, I mean, it's just a way to catch your attention, right. I guess, for telling a story. Right. And that's the only reason why it's there. So, and that's fine. You know, if that was the only thing that was a little bit misleading or hard to reconcile with the rest of the movie, then that would be fine. But it's not. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's all over the place. So, yeah, it's interesting to me. They're like, oh, do you plan on finishing the story this time? Like, people like mm-hmm. an ending. And that's kind of
funny, yeah.
Ironic.
But man, does the village love his stories. And with good reason, because he's not just a storyteller. He has
magic
powers.
And nobody seems to notice or care that, like, he has these magical...
Nobody's calling up the Ed Sullivan Show trying to get him booked on a bigger stage, right? Like, he can make these paper creatures run around and perform as
like
he's playing
magical
the
origami
soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. With the music. And, yeah, he has this power. But it seems like, okay, is this power normal? Like... It just seems like nobody is surprised by it. And apparently, they listen to the same story, like, every single day. That's what
It sounds like, yeah, he varies the story. Because, oh, can you do this time? Can you incorporate a fire-breathing chicken?
But it seems like it's the same deal.
Yeah.
He's just, like, going through adventures or whatever. Which is so funny, because I feel like he tells the story all day long. And everyone's just, cheering him and, like, so enthralled.
Yeah, it's morning
like, okay.
when he gets there, and then he has to leave at sunset. So it's like an 8-hour story.
Yeah. And everyone is paying attention to him the entire time.
Yeah, on their feet.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, anyway, Ezra liked this part. He was awake for this part, and he loved the strumming music. He liked that. He goes back home that night, and his mom is more lucid. He feeds her dinner, and she becomes lucid, and she's telling the stories to him. And so you're like, okay, this is where he gets it. He gets the stories from his mother. And then she kind of goes back into this comatose state, and it's bedtime, so he... has her go to sleep. She dreams, and the papers fly around the room. So you're like, oh, okay, he inherited this from her, this paper controlling power. You know,
it's a very interesting
came down the X chromosome
type of magic. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and yes, it is very specific, but it's very cool and beautiful, right?
Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
why you know that's why we recommend this movie is because of these cool, interesting, beautiful things. Anyway, the next day is like some festival that probably has a name if I knew Japanese culture.
Yeah,
where they're kind of reconnecting with their past ancestors, their kindred dead. And I think he, you know, Kubo misses his father. He can only get so much out of his mom, and he wishes that he knew him. His father's dead. He tries to, like, pray to him. His lantern doesn't get lit, and there's this, you know, there's a scene with a grandpa and a granddaughter, and they're like, you know, they say something, like, to the grandmother. Cut over to Kubo, and he's, like, explaining himself to his father's spirit or whatever. And then it cuts back, and the lantern's lit, and I wondered, like, did the grandpa light that when we weren't watching, right? Like Santa Claus.
I pretended that yeah. it was, like, the right, spirit
right,
of the...
Right, I couldn't tell if, like, they believed in that kind of magic or not. Anyway, I...
Yeah, well, it seemed like everyone's lantern got lit except for Kubo's, and so
right.
he got super mad.
Right, but he didn't have a parent late. With him to light it.
That's true. So yeah, he got super mad, and the sun went down, and the moon came up.
Yes, and he was warned the night before never to let that happen.
Yeah, don't ever be in the night because and while the mom is talking, by the way, when she's telling him all this stuff, you're thinking, is she crazy?
Right? Is this
is
real?
Is she making this stuff mm-hmm. up? Is this real? And so is right. everything that he's been taught by his mom a lie?
Right. Which was interesting the first time through, like wondering, like, oh, is this real? Is this imagined? But.
Mm-hmm. But it makes things like more complicated in your brain. Yeah, mm-hmm. like you're as a viewer, I think you're trying to sort through too many things. So anyway, it turns out it is real because in 2 seconds after the moon comes up, this crazy creepy mist comes. This is the creepy part of the movie. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to watch this with your kids and like fast forward through this part or something like that, if they get creeped out by this creepy, creepy stuff, these two sisters come and they're talking at the same time and their feet aren't touching the floor and they've got like masks that don't move on their face. And they're like, oh, Kubo, we've been looking all over for you. We really want to take your other eye, you know? And so they're going after him. And then somehow the mom becomes lucid at that moment. And she goes, oh, Kubo. And then she appears like right at the right time to save him from her sisters.
Yeah. She activates his father's robe that has magic wings in it. And he flies away. And when he wakes up, he's in a snowstorm with a monkey.
Staring at him.
Condescending monkey. Very, strange character, that monkey.
Yep.
Very negative.
Yeah.
Overprotective. Like,
yeah.
She's like superstitious. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're getting stronger, but you might think that's a good thing, but the world's going to retaliate.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, she's, I don't know. I mean, she was not an endearing character, that's mm-mm. for sure. So, and I think that there were a couple times where it was supposed to be funny, but it didn't really come across that way to me. So,
yeah.
It's fine, but...
They find shelter in the belly of a whale. She cooks dinner and says...
I can see you have questions. You get three.
Yeah, which seems very arbitrary. And then when he asks the question that all the audience asks, why only three, she doesn't answer it.
Right.
So... Why even limit his questions if you're not going to answer
right.
them?
This was another part of the movie that really bothered me because usually when you're, I mean, if she's going to go back on her three questions rule, that's fine, but she maybe has to like justify that or something, but she's like super like adamant that he gets only three questions. And then it's a free-for-all after that. Like, and she's kind of like, okay, that was one. Okay, that was two. That was three. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's all kinds of stuff that she just tells him. And then
right.
he asks more questions and she answers them. It's like, okay. So that wasn't a magical thing. That wasn't some sort of like, I'm going to die if you ask me any more than three questions. Or like, your magic will stop working or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. Like that three questions was like... set in stone.
She
and then
just
all of a sudden,
want to talk to him.
Yeah, and I'm like, why?
Which is very interesting because later you learn that
that's
the monkey
mom.
Is his mom. So it's like, so
why? Why don't you want to answer any of his questions? And if it was like, okay, I just don't want him to know that it's me, his mother, because he's going to have to lose me again because I'm the magic's fading, I'm going to die or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, great, but say that, you know?
Yeah, say that when you're about to die or something. Yeah,
yeah, like
justify
like,
it later.
Justify the stuff that you do. And that was a thing about this movie all over the entire plot was like lack of justification for doing what they were doing. And so I just felt like the whole thing could be like tightened up. It could be rewritten, some of it. And yeah, there was a lot going on in this. So anyway.
It seems like there is a theme to the movie that Asher pointed out. You
the
know,
memories.
The memories are powerful magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she
wish
explains
they would have said
that
a little bit more.
Right. She says it, you know, amidst all these other, you know, silly things. But, you know, he had pulled a strand of his mother's hair out when he was flying away.
And the monkey makes a bracelet out of it.
And says that this hair is a memory and memories are powerful things. All right, so then they go to sleep, they wake up the next day, and there is a paper samurai who
that
points the way. Yeah, he dreamed about his dad, and then a paper samurai is there and points the way to go. So they follow the samurai.
Because it's the best bad idea that they have.
It's the best bad idea, which wasn't very funny. He makes like a flock of birds, and the monkey gets mad about that, super critical of him. They find...
Yeah, she's like mad that he's growing stronger with his magic. She's
right.
So upset by it.
Right, which, you know, doesn't...
seem right,
yeah.
Since he's supposed to be able to, like, defend himself against the Moon King.
Yeah. So they find an ex-samurai beetle. A beetle, you know, who was a samurai and now he's a beetle. He's forgotten everything.
Cursed with no memories.
Yes, cursed with no memories and the body of a beetle. A large beetle, though.
He's weird looking.
Not a tiny beetle, yeah.
But he's voiced by Matthew McConaughey, and Matthew McConaughey does a good job.
Yeah, he's funny, and he sounds like George Clooney sometimes, and sometimes he sounds like Buzz Lightyear.
And he's very likable.
Yeah, very likable. Yeah, he's got this blank expression on his flat face, and...
he's weird looking, but the voice
glass
makes up for
eyes.
It.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Shirtless the whole time, just like Matthew McConaughey likes to do.
Yes, shirtless. That was probably in the contract, I
yes,
bet. Definitely.
Yes.
All right, so their first big challenge was to
sword
find the sword unbreakable. Yes. And by the way, the reason why they have to go on this quest to find these three different things, the sword unbreakable, the breastplate impenetrable, and the helmet invulnerable, because those three things together are going to create some sort of power that is like the Moon King was very upset that they
mm-hmm,
existed and that
mm-hmm.
that power existed because that could maybe rival him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story that we are
told. Fed.
Told.
Force
at the
fed.
Beginning,
no.
Yes, and it's not very forceful though. They just kind of mention it,
yeah.
And you're supposed to kind of hang on to that, like, oh,
right.
We're gonna go get this.
Because he talks about it in the story he's telling to the village,
and if you think
and
this
you don't
is confusing,
know, yeah, you don't know that it's real, and then it's like suddenly they're on this quest to find these three things. You're like, oh, so that was real?
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you're sort of like, all right, well, what? Okay. Why does it, I guess I'll have to wait and see like why this is so important. So their first big thing is, you know, the paper dad is pointing the direction
mm-hmm.
to inside this cave, and they break down the wall and they get inside and they find like this skeleton hand with a sword in it, and they're like, oh, okay, they try that.
It might be a trap.
Yeah.
Could have used that line later.
Yeah.
Admiral Akbar. No, but he goes, oh, I'll do it. And which I thought was very brave of him and courageous, but the monkey's like, what, a trap's not going to work for you? And it's like, no, if it does, then he'll sacrifice himself.
Yeah. Like he keeps telling you, he'll sacrifice himself for your son.
That monkey,
don't
so
you want him around? Yeah. The monkey and the beetle fight all the time, and it's totally
bickering,
the monkey's
yeah.
fault,
mm-hmm.
but they're constantly bickering. And it's like, is that how we were supposed to know that they were his parents? Is that they're fighting all the time? Like, what is that? What is a family? People who fight, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of silly. Anyway, the beetle pulls out the sword in a very funny fashion, and then it wakes up this huge skeleton monster, which made an impression on Gwen. She really liked that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that the sword that they pulled out from the hand is not really the sword Unbreakable because it breaks. And then they see a bunch of swords in the top of the head. And so they're trying to get these swords out of the head. They each try. Everyone's saving everybody else with awesome stuff.
Eventually they find the sword. And as soon as he does, he pulls it out of the head. And then the robot shuts down, I guess. Yeah. Loses electricity from the sword Unbreakable.
Yep.
And drops them. And then they fly out and they land on the beach. And they start bickering on the beach. They weren't having an argument. They were having an adult conversation,
which is so.
It didn't even seem like they knew what they were going to be that they were going to be arguing until they decided to have an argument.
It was silly, really, and they're of course arguing about what's best for Kubo. Like,
yeah,
because that's like what parents do. Parents, of course, that's how you were supposed to know that those are both his parents. Anyway,
he makes a boat out of leaves with his magic
because he's
because cool. He can control leaves.
Yeah,
they're like paper.
Yep, anything paperish.
And then they're on
part
this
the magic.
Boat made of leaves. It's awesome.
It does look really cool.
And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sunset on the Long Lake. Really pretty, you know, like the movie is. It's a very beautiful movie. They're on the boat and he's teaching them how to shoot the arrows.
Which he learns very quickly.
Yeah, he's very quickly learns to be an archer.
Maybe it's in the genes.
Yeah, the Y chromosome.
He got the origami magic from his mama.
And the archer skills,
from his dad. So the paper dad's like, it's down there. And they're like, oh, of course.
So then the beetle goes down to get it, but he forgets. And then...
what he's supposed to be doing.
And the witch sister comes.
Right after Kubo jumps in. So the monkey wants to fish Kubo out. Like, oh, I got to get him. But then the sister comes and they fight and she can't help him. So Kubo's by himself.
Beetle's by himself. And then shows back up on the ship with a fish that he caught. So he forgot what he was supposed to be doing
down there.
Like dads do. Yeah. I don't know.
Dumb dads. Dummies.
And then this witch, this sister witch. Is she not a witch? She's wearing
a
black
like
a brimmed hat. Yeah.
She's got like black smoke she can control.
I didn't look up the Japanese word for witch.
That she smokes through her mask.
Yeah, but she's got this crazy weapon. I think it's called
Pardon our Japanese. I'm not even going to try.
Sarigama.
That's probably right.
And it is a scary weapon, man. And I guess what we've seen it in like Daredevil. It's chain with an axe on the end and it's swinging around. And I would not like to be in like a fight with someone like that. Anyway, it's gruesome. And, you know, just like the threat of that violence. Anyway, whatever. They fight. The monkey's a good fighter. Against this magical flying witch with a...
whatever that's called.
Sarigama.
The axe on a chain.
Kubo's under the sea getting... there's like these siren eyeballs and...
that are like giving him information, showing him pictures of the monkey and then his mother.
Revealing truths to him.
Yeah.
Not just like making him want to stay like the
mirror
of...
they're supposed to make him want to stay down there. Like I thought they were going to show him like him with his happy family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Mirror of Erised or whatever from Harry Potter. But nope, they're just saying like, guess what? The monkey's your mom. And he's like just staring at him like... if I would have gotten that information, I'd be like, gee, thanks, and swam back up to the boat to be with my mom. So
he's
I don't
hypnotized.
Know how works. Yeah, he's hypnotized.
The beetle is sent back down by the monkey, and the beetle uses his archery skills underwater and shoots all the eyeballs, grabs and pulls him up, and he's like unconscious. They pull him up onto the raft, and the monkey's hugging him and wishing him back to life, and then the boat comes together, and he's breathing again, which is great. And then they go to shore, he's like, oh, you're my mother.
Oh, the sister dies, right?
Yeah, she killed the first sister.
She killed the first sister, yeah. They get off the lake.
They hear the mother tell the story. Now, you know, now she's the mother. That's been revealed. So she tells her story.
Yeah, by the eyeballs in the lake.
Yes, because they know that.
Yep.
And then, so she tells her story about how they fell in love, which was kind of weird because they were like fighting.
Yeah.
Because she was one of the evil sisters, right? And she was trying to kill...
yeah, Kubo's mom was one of the Moon King's daughters, and she was sent
to kill Hanzo, who was trying to get this armor, and
that was so
threatening to the Moon King.
Yes, to the Moon King.
And as they're fighting for a long time, I guess, or I don't know how long this courtship is, he says, He says four words to her, which Beetle guesses later incorrectly, "I love you, monkey." But which is, you know, a good line.
Yeah.
And totally. Then the words were, "You are my quest." And the way that he looks at her, she
communicates scales humanity drop. Yeah. And compassion. And she goes, "Oh, I want to be with you,"
mm-hmm.
in the middle of their fight. So it's kind of silly. I've never heard of anyone falling in love while fighting before, yeah. But
I mean, it happens in movies, I guess.
Yeah, like Pirates of the Caribbean. Don't they like French kiss in the middle of their
fight? Zorro. Yeah, I don't know. Movies of that caliber. Whatever. Yeah, they go to sleep. He dreams, and this old man, who we later learn is his grandfather, tells him where to go to find the last piece of the puzzle, right? Like the last. Yeah,
so
the,
I
the
assume
helmet.
That the grandfather comes to him in his right, dreams, in like his that dream. Actually mm-hmm, happens. Right. It's not Kubo, right?
Right.
So here's my question. Why doesn't the grandfather do that at any
every
other
night
time?
Of his
like
life.
Every night yeah. of his life. Like, hey, you want to
hey,
come
I'm
find
I'm a friendly
hey,
guy.
Yeah.
Come find it here. Yeah. But anyway, he waits until now to set a trap for him. Monkey isn't pessimistic and looking for traps this time. And they get trapped and they're like gripped by smoke, which I'm not sure why they didn't open with that. I guess they kind of tried to, but they just attacked the village instead. Anyway, yeah. The second sister's there and she's, you know, and then Kubo hits her in the face with his beachy, his pick for his guitar.
Yeah.
And that smashes her mask off, which is impressive because she's been hit by with like a lot of stuff. Anyway.
But that's what finally breaks it.
I was very happy to see that it was a mask because
it was weird.
It made
not
her less creepy.
It was a mask.
She looked
yeah.
I thought she looked cool with like a broken mask with her mouth
yeah,
moving
yeah.
more like more
absolutely.
Emotive.
Yeah, and that knocked the smoke, the magical smoke pipe out of her mouth so everyone got released. And so now everybody
okay.
could fight.
Okay.
So that was
but
another
instead
thing.
Of fighting they have a family reunion. They oh, you're my dad. Okay, wow. So the mom's dying there and they're like, oh, you know, the monkey mom is dying and, yeah. and oh, take care of him. Oh, of course, I will always take care of him. And he gets stabbed in the back right then.
Yeah, which I think that's like the writers trying to be like, ooh, you didn't expect that. What a twist.
But the whole time you're like, why aren't they... Was she taken care of? Was she really, like, killed? You know, like...
Yeah, like, she kind of disappears in some rubble, I guess.
Right, but you don't think
but
she's
dead.
But you don't dead.
See
I don't know.
Her dead. It's like, why are you guys talking
why
to
are
each
you guys
other
talking?
Right now?
No.
Like, you're in the middle of a fight. You should probably finish that off, because she seems like she's pretty good at fighting, you know, this sister lady. So, anyway...
So, Beetle gets stabbed. Kubo defeats her with his huge drum. He breaks his strings, right, at that point?
He does break his strings.
Boom. Strings are broken. I guess she's defeated, and then it's morning.
Yeah,
and
but that's not even... Okay, talk about not seeing the end of a villain, right?
Right, right.
Like, you just see a white light, and you're uh-huh. like, what even happened? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know. He plays one chord with a glowing white hand mm-hmm. on his cool little instrument, mm-hmm. and then you're like, what even happened? You don't know. It's like, you don't see anything. So apparently now his parents
right.
are dead,
because,
and so is the sister.
Because we've seen the movie, and we know that she doesn't show up again.
That's how we know they die.
Because they haven't made a sequel yet. She's
yeah.
dead. So he finds the picture of the helmet, and it's in... The town where he
the
grew
village
up. The village
where he grew up. It's
so
like the bell or whatever.
He
I don't
magics
know.
His wings, like a flag into wings,
yeah.
and he flies to the village and he knocks down the tower, gets the helmet, and yeah. it like makes a light show. But then it doesn't seem to have any effect on him. Like,
yeah, there's no extra power. There's right. no like, oh no, I'm the grandfather
it
and
shrinks
I
shrinks down to his size,
which
convenient,
is pretty impressive.
But,
yeah.
But
and it's
yeah.
kind of funny because he's supposed to like all through the
he's
beginning of it.
Growing
he
was, into his robe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which is totally exactly his size, by the way. Like it's not
well,
like it's he's
not
swimming
it,
in it.
I thought it may be a short sleeve robe.
Okay.
But it goes down to his, you know. Arms.
I think it fits him quite well.
Yeah.
And I think it would look pretty tiny on his dad.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. Whenever they say something about like, oh, you're gonna grow into your father's robes, I'm like, how big was your dad? So okay, so now he's got this awesome trio the awesome trio of the sword and the armor and the helmet, which is supposed to be what the grandfather was so scared worried. Of. Mm-hmm. That's why he sent his daughters to like take
kill
care
the
of
samurai.
Yeah, before he could get his hands on these terrible, like, you know, weapons or whatever. So now Kubo has them. He's wearing them. He puts up a pretty good fight, but they're not.
Yeah, he puts up a very impressive fight for a storytelling person who's never held a sword before.
Right.
That we know of.
He like slices down the, because the grandfather, by the way, turns into a dragon. So the grandfather, as a grandfather, he's like, oh, don't you want to be living with me as a family in the sky? I just need to take your eyeball out so that we can live together forever. Happy, happy, happy. Kubo slices him down the belly, like, right away. Mm-hmm. And then he takes out his eye, mm-hmm. or, like, at least one slices him mm-hmm. in the eye, which is super common, I guess, because Kubo has one eye. Mm-hmm. His mom has, like, one eye that's mm-hmm. damaged or whatever, mm-hmm. and now the grandpa does,
a lot
too.
Of eye damage.
Yep.
Yeah, and his speech is like, oh, the grandfather is trying to persuade him. And I don't know. I don't know if it's any better than Darth Vader talking to Luke Skywalker, you know, come join me and we'll rule the, you know, whatever sure. together. But it's really, you know, he's like, look, you know, your family's dead. You're going to be stuck down here in this H-E double hockey sticks.
Where this is a family show.
Where there's pain and suffering and death. And I guess on his side of it, there's like immortality, infinite perfection or something.
And yeah, I think at one point
they over-vilify perfection, I think.
They do. It's weird. They say he's cold and hard and perfect.
Yeah.
Like, perfect. I'm like, well, is that perfect then? If he's like, what does perfect mean to you? I don't know.
Is he like mad with power? Because that's not perfect.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
And if he's cold and hard, is that perfect? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
He's like, come be perfect like me. And Kubo gets all offended, like, I don't want to be infinite. All stories have an end, which is funny because I think they say to the mom, like, oh, your story won't have an end because you'll live inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, the story will never, never end. And he tells his grandfather that he doesn't want to be infinite because all stories have to have an end.
Yeah.
So there's some
conflicting information about mm-hmm. what a story is. And whenever they talk about, oh, a storyteller's great, and I think at one point, yeah, they say something like, oh, he's great, he's a storyteller. I feel like the scriptwriter is like trying to pat himself on the back. Like, it feels there's like a bunch of overt like praise laid on storytellers.
Like, storytellers are amazing.
Even before you went on this adventure, Kubo, you
were
a hero.
Because you told stories and people liked them. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I always think that that's a little funny in movies, but you know, I also kind of, you know, if it's done well.
Right, if it's
it works. So the grandpa eventually decides that he wants him to feel pain. And
yeah.
So he like,
he squeezes him and he
tosses him across
tosses
into, the
him into the graveyard. And he, with his guitar, conveniently, his guitar, his samisen.
Yes.
And he's like laughing it up, the grandpa, just having a great
slowly,
time.
Slowly like
slithering his way through the air.
Scratching the trees.
And Kubo has time to take off his bracelets. One was from his mother's hair strand. One was from his father's bowstring. And then he pulls the hair out of his own head and
puts him on his
instrument, which felt like one too many strings to me because it's Kubo and two strings. But apparently he is one of those strings. And so I don't know.
Yep. Sort of confusing title.
Yeah, I felt like the numbers system was
off,
puzzling to me. But then he plays an awesome chord and turns his monster grandfather Moon King into an old man who lost his memory.
Yes.
And,
oh, by the way, he does this whole, if you must blink, do it now.
Yeah.
And why is that there? Like, it does not.
Yeah, they're just trying to, yeah.
Maybe it's.
Remind you. Remember when I said
maybe
this?
Maybe it's like if you need to moisten your eyes because you only have or one eye or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's no reason for it to be there. Anyway.
And then this was like super sweet, but it came from nowhere. What happens next is the grandfather's no memory, and he's like, oh, I seem to have forgotten my story. Can you help me? And the old lady from the beginning is like, oh, I'll tell you who you are. You're the kindest, gentlest, sweetest man in the village. And
Everyone's like, oh yeah, you give coins to children like me.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, you taught my daughter how to swim. It's like, you're just all lying to this guy now.
Right, which is, I mean, it's really beautiful, like, to take this person who reigned in terror and destroyed your city and, like, treat him like he's wonderful.
Right.
Because you know he'll act like that if he believes
is
who he is. So it's, like, kind of a beautiful nugget of a moment, but it's, like, how did they
all decide to do this all together? Why are they not freaked out or scared that he's
gonna... And why was this idea of, like, giving someone good memories, like, part of the movie,
The story before.
Like, I loved this part, except it didn't feel like it belonged in this movie. Like, I would love a movie where it ended...
Where that
fit the movie.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. Like, you know, they had a great music underneath it. It was really, like, touching to see these people who, you know, lived in a village that was destroyed by his powers teach him that he's good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And it seemed very genuine, too. Mm-hmm. Like, these people
loved him.
They're not scared saying this information.
Right. He has no power over them anymore. And they loved him.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, like, kind of unexpected, but... And unexpected things are fine in movies if they seem to fit,
mm-hmm.
but that really didn't.
Right, right. If they had been talking about, like, oh, how memories form us or anything like
that.
Yeah,
anything.
like, it reminded me, I heard this, that there's a tribe, maybe I shouldn't even say this.
Oh.
In Africa, where if you commit a crime... They surround you and sing your song and tell you, you know, remind you who you are and how good you are and love you and surround you with love and a love song like a lullaby from your childhood. And like that is what you get for stepping out of line is
reminder that you're
a lot of love and a reminder of, that you belong or whatever.
Yes.
Which is also beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous thing to do in you know, and they did talk about like humanity and empathy and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's like it's funny because when you think about it hard enough, you're like, okay, I can kind of connect some dots here in this movie, but you have to think too hard about it. And there's no connective tissue to like bring you to those. You have to do all this work.
Mm-hmm.
Things in this movie that I think it was like trying to say but didn't quite make it there. So there was magic, there was family, there was memories, there was stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And humanity, I guess, being important.
Yeah, and they were all put in a blender.
And there were connections between some of them, like memories are magic and families are, you know, we have memories of our families.
And the stories that they were telling turned out to be memories.
Yes. It's like the story of your life, sort of. Like, I mean, if you do the legwork, then you can throw this all together.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're watching the movie, you're just kind of thinking, okay, what was I supposed to get from that? You know, like, like it was a nice experience.
Yeah. It was an adventure. The good guys won, you know, like
beautiful
in a very
looking.
Abstract. Yeah. It was really cool looking. A lot of
good
know.
Voice acting on some people's parts.
Yeah. Any stop animation, it's just an incredible amount of work and painstaking stuff to just put the things on the screen. And any movie is a ton of work.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that since this is, like a Japanese story that this is a story that is based off of things that already exist, right?
It's
mythologies that we don't know about or whatever.
I wondered that many times during the movie. Is that a symbol that I don't understand, you know?
Right.
Or
but
is this just
the thing,
white guys trying to make a Japanese story? I don't know.
Like getting a tattoo that says something they don't think it says or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking the same thing and maybe we should have done more homework and looked this up or whatever, but I think the reason why I didn't is because I'm like, well, if you're telling a story,
yeah, you have to put all the parts into the story. Yeah,
yeah, you have to tell the story. You can't just assume that other people know, oh yeah, well, you already know this story or whatever, especially if you're telling it to obviously to like
a Western audience. Yeah.
And you can draw from other cultures all you want. That's great. But you need to tell the story so that it makes sense to anyone who's going to listen to it. So that's kind of where I am with that. I think that's awesome. If it is like, you know, this Moon King thing that already mm-hmm. is a story in Japan.
Right.
Great.
Right. If we hope that if you took our recommendation and watched the movie, that we hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you didn't have as much criticism as we did.
Most people don't.
Right. Right. It was enjoyable. We didn't suffer through it the second time. We watched it. We enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is how we enjoy watching movies, actually.
And we will do another one next week. All right. Signing off. I don't know how to end.
Okay. Thanks for coming to Family Movie Night with us.
All right. Was that normal?
I don't know.
All right.